Zechariah 4 and 1. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said to me, What seest thou? And I said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and with seven, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Hallelujah.
Come on, we're going to blast the show far. Glory. Put your hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise. Welcome to everybody. Joanna, I love each and every one of you. Appreciate you. Amen for being here today. But the Lord will let me. I want to minister on this thought. Amen. Simply this question. Do you know? Do you know? Amen. Look at your neighbor and ask that question. Do you know? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to set a little bit of context here. Amen. As we read to you out of the book of Zechariah. Excuse me, Zechariah was a prophet during the time of the return of the Jews to their land. Zerubbabel was the governor, amen, of the Judean territory. So we have Zechariah the prophet, amen, that is here during the time of the return of the Jews to their land out of exile, and Zerubbabel was the governor of, amen, Jerusalem or the Judean territory. Now, Zerubbabel was a descendant of David, and so he was of the royal line. Amen. So Zerubbabel, amen, comes to us, amen, as a descendant of David. Now, what you have to understand here, amen, that Judah was still under the domination of the Persian Empire. Amen. The Babylonians, amen, had taken, amen, the Jews into exile, and now the Jews have begun to return, amen. And so again, here is Zechariah the prophet that, amen, God is raised up as they're returning, and Zerubbabel is the governor, amen, of their territory, amen, but they were still under the domination of the Persian Empire or the Babylonian Empire, amen. And so now we see that Zerubbabel and Zechariah are commissioned by God to oversee the building of the second temple. The first temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. So they went in, amen, desecrated, destroyed the temple. The temple being the place, of course, where God's people worshiped, where his presence dwelt, amen. And they had destroyed that. And so now the rebuilding all of this second temple, amen, is in progress. And we see in the scripture that they have been commissioned. Zerubbabel and Zechariah were commissioned to oversee the rebuilding of this. Amen. And God has been speaking to Zechariah through visions. You can read, amen, in those first three chapters, amen, a lot in chapter 3 that God had been speaking to him in visions. Amen. This angel, God was sending an angel to Zechariah to speak to him. And it tells us as chapter 4 begins that this same angel that had talked to him, amen, in chapter 3, now came to him, the Bible says. Zechariah said, he came to me again. And he said, he roused me, amen, like someone who was suddenly awakened from a deep sleep. How many's ever been, amen, woke up from a deep sleep really quick? And you're, when you first wake up, you're unaware of your surroundings. You're kind of like distraught. You're not real sure what's going on. Your heart beats, amen. And amen, you're just kind of like, what is it, amen? Hallelujah. This is what we see that Zechariah Zechariah is describing as this angel came back to him and roused him up. Amen. He roused me like someone. So it was a sudden, amen, appearance of this angel. Amen. And this angel asked Zechariah, amen, what do you see? So I perceive that maybe Zechariah was already having a vision. He was already in, amen, this vision. This vision was already in progress. And then this angel came and began to speak to him. So imagine, being caught up, amen, and having a vision. And then that angel suddenly coming in. So it's not necessarily that Zechariah was asleep, but he roused him and got his attention because he was obviously, amen, not in a complete control of where he was at or what he was doing. So I believe that he was in this state of seeing this vision. And then the angel comes, amen, and it startles him in this vision and begins to speak to him. And so he asked him, what do you see? Amen. And Zechariah knew that he was looking at a menorah or a lampstand. Now the menorah or the lampstand was that which was in the temple. It was that which, amen, was to remain lit in the temple. It provided the light in the temple, amen, and it was kept on at all times. The fire, amen, the flame in the lampstand, or you'll probably hear me refer it to menorah, amen. That's just the Hebrew word for that, for the lampstand. It's what it's called, the menorah, amen. Many of you are familiar with that, especially during, amen, the holidays and what we see as Hanukkah, amen. It's the lamp, amen, the stand with the seven stems, amen, and the candles. But so he knew that he was looking at a menorah. He knew that he was looking at the lampstand that had once, amen, stood in the temple. Now remember, the temple had been destroyed, amen. So he already knew that this was a menorah. He already knew what this was, and he began to describe it to the angel. He began to tell the angel, amen, that this menorah, this lampstand, was solid gold. There was a bowl, amen, at the top, and then there were bowls on top, amen, of each of the seven lamps. Amen. There were seven lamps, amen, on this menorah, amen, on this lampstand, and there were bowls on top of this lampstand, and there were seven tubes or seven pipes that were leading all to these lampstands, or, amen, the lamps, amen, that was on the menorah, amen. So he began to describe this to the angel. He also began to tell the angel that there was on either side of this menorah, there was an olive tree, and from this olive tree, amen, there was, amen, a tube or a pipe, amen, that was coming from each of these olive trees that was providing the oil in that bowl, amen, that was distributing the oil to all of, amen, the seven lamps. Amen. And so, even though Zechariah was familiar with the menorah, amen, and sitting in, never had he seen, amen, the setup quite like this. Amen. He had never seen two olive trees, amen, there on either side. Amen. And so he began to ask the angel, what are these? He knew what the menorah was, but what are these olive trees? What are these trees and these pipes that are running to this? And the angel replied to him, you don't know? And he replied back, no, I don't know. I don't know what these are. And so he knew what a menorah was, and it was the most sacred symbol of faith. So the menorah, amen, if the menorah was the one thing that was to, that provided light in the temple, then the menorah was a great symbol of the faith, or of the Jewish faith, if I can say it in that context. Amen. It served as a great symbol of faith. Amen. But he was clueless with what the symbolism meant. Amen. Here Zechariah is a prophet because he's never seen all the trees in the temple. Amen. And so for him to perceive that this was possibly the menorah, amen, that he had seen before in the temple was a little bit hard for him, amen, to wrap his mind around. And see, what you got to understand, amen, that the most tedious of the duties of the temple service was the constant care of the lamps on the golden lampstand. We already told you that God said that they were to be kept lit at all times because this was the only source of light in the temple. So if the lampstand went out, that meant that there would be no light in the temple, which would again affect their worship, their sacrifice, all of that together. So you understand that, amen. Because that lampstand had to be continually filled with oil. So if the light was going to stay on, or the flame, remember they didn't have electricity way before, amen, electricity, praise God. So they would put the olive oil in the lamps, amen, and that would stay lit. There was a wick in each lamp. That wick would have to stay lit, amen, and the oil would have to be refilled to keep the flame going. It had to be cleaned of soot, amen, because how many's ever tried to light a wick on a candle that's covered with soot? It doesn't relight very well. So oftentimes you got to clean and trim that wick. So they would have to clean, amen, the soot, and they would have to maintain those wicks, amen. So this was one of the most tedious, amen, jobs or duties in the temple service. And so now here, Zechariah is looking at this lampstand that is self-filling. He's looking at a lampstand now that's being filled or fed oil by these trees. So no longer that means there wouldn't need to be anybody, amen, that would have to maintain, are you with me? They would not have to maintain the oil because they would be self filling. So this would have been like in 1965, looking into 2025 and seeing, these robots now that are walking around serving people their food in restaurants. And I saw where Amazon is going to be experimenting on, amen, a robot doing your delivery. I said, imagine sitting in your chair looking over and there'll be a robot on your porch. Hallelujah. That's a little bit out of sorts for me. Is, I don't know, but that's for me at my house. Let's keep it real. Amen. Come on. Somebody, you understand? So here he's looking into something that his mind has never even conceived, let alone imagining that there would come a time when in the temple there would not need to be anybody who would need to make sure that the oil was in the lamp. Now, someone would have to occasionally trim the wicks, maintain, keep it clean, but the oil was the most tedious thing because it wasn't just any olive oil. It was a special formula, amen. So they had to make sure. So now Zechariah is seeing something that his mind has never even thought about, let alone envisioned. Hallelujah. These lamps are now fueled by pure, hallelujah, specifically prepared oil. And although he was a prophet, he still didn't know what the vision meant. I want you to understand that this morning. Although the symbol was all too familiar, the symbol of the lampstand or the menorah, that was all too familiar. You would say, well, he's a prophet. How is it that he did not understand or did not, amen, perceive what was going on? Amen. Let me pose you this. How many Christians know the symbolism of the cross beyond being where Jesus died? Come on now. All right. I mean, he's sitting in churches this morning, amen, really know the deep meaning, amen, of the cross, amen, beyond being where Jesus died, beyond being something on a chain, or beyond being something on a t-shirt, or something on a bumper sticker, or something, amen, hanging from the rear view mirror. Hallelujah. Amen. Try to get them to explain the deep symbolism behind why Jesus had to die. Amen. How many Christians could explain, amen, that sit in service week after week? How many could really explain the deep symbolism of why he had to die? Why the blood had to be shed? Amen. Why his blood had to be shed? Why he had to be resurrected? Amen. Does the average Christian know the deep meaning behind the blood of Jesus? Why there's power in the blood? Amen. It's a legitimate question to ask, because I'm afraid there would be many who couldn't, who could not explain it. Are you with me? My point being is, let's not judge Zechariah. How many Christians can really explain or know why the enemy trembles at the mention of the blood of Jesus? Amen. Why do they really know? Can they explain why? Amen. Do demons tremble? So too, amen, was the menorah, amen, which is the symbolism of Judaism. Amen. There's two things you're going to see, amen, outside of the flag of Israel. There's two things you're going to see today, amen, that's going to let you know that someone is either Jewish, amen, or they embrace that. It's going to be the Star of David and probably a menorah, because those are two symbols of their faith. It's something that's exclusive to them. You might get that later. It's something that only belongs to them as a covenant people of God. It's something that's only their identity. Amen. So other people may have stolen it. Other people, and more so the menorah, because the Star of David was not created by God. And there's a lot of stuff, amen, controversy behind the star. But the menorah was God's original plan. So the menorah in itself is exclusive to the Jewish people. Amen. It is a symbol of their faith, just like the cross is to the Christian faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what you have to understand. I want you to see something today. Hallelujah. The menorah, what does the menorah tell us? Hallelujah. Not that it was just some kind of a Jewish lamp or some kind of a, amen, Jewish symbol that they light. Amen. But from the spiritual standpoint, from where God was at when he established it in the temple, it was that the Jews were chosen to bring the light of God to the world. This is why there's war going on right now in Israel. This is why right now, hallelujah, amen, it's 7:30 in the evening and the sun is going down. And there are people, citizens and children all over the area that are sheltered in place, that are hiding in bomb shelters, that can't go to the store. They're afraid to walk out of their house because alarms are going off, that missiles, amen, are coming in. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And there's so many at one time, amen, that the Israeli defense system, the Iron Dome, that is always good at intercepting missiles. There's been so many at one time that, amen, the Iron Dome was overwhelmed and couldn't keep up. So missiles now have landed, amen, in civilian homes. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Why is that going on? Because God chose the land of Israel to be the focal point. Oh, somebody help me. I don't want to get off on that trail again. But let me just remind you of this. When the King of Kings, yesterday was no King's Day. I'll leave that at that. But there's only one King. And amen, there's always only been one King. And his name is Jesus. He is Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed Messiah. Somebody help me. I feel preaching and I'm not done laying a foundation. Hallelujah. But the book of Revelation tells us by the vision of John, hallelujah, that this King is going to come back. And when he comes back, bring the light of God to the world.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Why are they chosen? Because they were the first to say yes to His word.
Come on. Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on. So Zechariah and Zerubbabel knew this much, but Zechariah knew there was something more this menorah represented, but he was clueless as to what. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people today walking around spiritually blind, and they may not be in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but something in them senses something ain't right. They don't know what it is, amen, but something's not right. That's why they need us to be the light of the world. Come on, somebody. So Zechariah was clueless as to what this menorah represented in this way that he saw it. So God begins to explain it to him in verse 6. And he tells him, I want you to share this with Zerubbabel. God begins to explain to him, the angel was letting Zechariah know that he must come to understand the meaning. It's letting him know, you have to understand. Zechariah said, I don't know. I don't know. The angel said, you must come to know what this means. You have to understand what this is showing, because you are going to tell this to Zerubbabel. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture here? Now, keep in mind, Zerubbabel was the civic leader, and he had a responsibility to finish the work of rebuilding the temple. So the temple had already been started, amen, and we know that there was discouragement that came, amen, and there was opposition, and amen, people had just quit working, amen, and people had quit trying to work it, amen. I don't know who I'm talking to today who's sitting here and you feel discouraged, you feel like, can I tell you how many times, amen, in this season, almost 2 years now, that the thought crossed my mind, just quit working at what you're doing. I'm not talking about serving the Lord, but I'm talking about working, amen, to build and do, amen, what I feel God has called, amen, me and my place and my destiny. How many times, amen, that the discouragement would come, amen, to just, you know what, just step aside, just let it go, just leave it alone, amen, so it happens. So I don't know who's in here today who's discouraged about your walk with God. You're discouraged maybe because you're not seeing, amen, in the timeline what you thought you would see. Maybe you've got promises and you've got word from God that's personal and it's not come to pass. I want you to know, amen, that God is not going to punish you if you have sat down for a little bit. God's not going to punish you. But let me tell you this, it is the will of God for you to get back up and get on it. Somebody help me. Touch a neighbor and say, get back up and get to it. Hallelujah. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. God ain't going to beat you up and judge you. He's got grace, mercy, patience. Hallelujah. But he's going to send somebody. He'll send something that will tell you, get back up. I ain't done with you yet. What did he tell the prophet Elijah? Amen. When Elijah said, I'm the only one. Ain't nobody else understands. And God said, Elijah, what you talking about? I'm not done with you yet. Get up out of that cave. I've got the prophets hidden in caves that you don't even know about. You may end the same by yourself. I still got work for you to do. Shake off that spirit of heaviness. Break off that chain. You ain't depressed. I've chosen you to finish, and what I start, I'll be faithful to bring it to fruition. Somebody better give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? So Zechariah had it. Responsibility as the civic leader to finish the work of rebuilding the temple. I told you that that work had been stalled, and Zerubbabel needed encouragement to carry on the work. Now touch your neighbor and say, you got this.
You got this.
It ain't nothing in us, but in Christ, you got this. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? If you ever feel like dropping somebody a word or a text or sending them a message or dropping them a mail in a card that may feel awkward to you, amen, you may not know them very well, but if the Lord lays them on your heart, amen, you take the time to send that text, send that message, put that card in the mail. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Because I can't tell you how many times, amen, you can step away, amen, from doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. And somebody, amen, would send me a text out of nowhere. Amen. With I call it random encouragement. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's God saying, you know what? I'm not finished yet. Hallelujah. You got this. It ain't about you. It's about who I am. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Amen. Everybody needs a little encouragement every now and then. Get it. But when you look and read Zechariah chapter 3, and you look, the issue in Zechariah 3 was purity. God was speaking to Zechariah about purity. You see, purity wasn't enough to accomplish the work of God. Come on, purity isn't going to get the temple rebuilt. Because you need resources. If he was going to rebuild it, that was one of the discouraging things about it. The people kind of said, what are you going to use to rebuild? Amen. We know that God let them out of the rubble and out of the ashes. Amen. Amen. They found, the things to build, rebuild the wall. Hallelujah. Praise God. He'll make beauty for ashes. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. But listen. Amen. You need resources. Hallelujah. Praise God. Holiness is not going to get the air fixed. As much as I like to say to the HVAC guy, I'm a Christian, buddy. I love the Lord with all my heart, do my best to serve him. I'm not perfect, but I do my best. Will you fix the AC? He's going to hand me an estimate that's going to cost something. It ain't going to come because I'm holy. Come on. So purity wasn't going to get the job done. It wasn't enough to accomplish. Oh, we can preach on that later. They needed resources. This is why God said to Zechariah in verse 6, he answered when after he asked Zechariah, don't you know what this is? And he said, I don't know. And the angel answered and said, say unto Zerubbabel, this is the word of the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. See, the Lord of hosts is the God of angel armies. See, that's God saying, I'm going to fight for you. I've already got it lined up. The battle is already taken care of. Somebody help me in this place. When you see the Lord of hosts, that means go ahead and try. Hallelujah. But he's done got the victory predestined. Somebody help me. He's already got the breakthrough. Hallelujah. Set in place. All he needs is for you to step up, step out, step in, and walk it out. Hallelujah. Come on. He didn't say how long we'd have to walk it out. Hallelujah. But he said, I'll not leave you or forsake you. I have not left you comfortless, but I will be with you. That where you go, I've already been. That means I've got the victory predestined. It's already pre-planned. Hallelujah. Don't talk about it. And whether it's going to happen, however, come on, somebody help me. Amen. The footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. As long as you follow in that footsteps that he says, and don't try to rush it, don't try to delay it. Amen. Stay humble and obedient. He's going to lead you right into victory. Somebody give the Lord a shout, the Lord of hosts. Amen. A shout for victory. Now this is a reference to Zerubbabel's descendant. This really is a reference to King David. See, we struggle. We all struggle. You know me, I'm transparent. I tell you this about every time I struggle. Maybe a little too much. I don't know. I don't care. Are you with me? We're all in this thing together. Being on some level, special level. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. So while this was a reference to Zerubbabel's descendant, who was David? He came from the royal bloodline, and who ultimately descends from David? King Jesus. Huh? The Messiah, the promised Messiah. But he was also letting Zerubbabel know that the resources will not be human might or power. I need you to hear me. I'm still laying a foundation. So when he says it's not by might, what does that mean? Might focuses on the collective strength or the resources of a group or an army. So he said it's not going to be by a specific group of people. Israel, the covenant is called. The covenant is not going to be preserved and is not going to be kept because of the Jewish people. It's going to be preserved and kept and fulfilled because of one. His name is Jesus. Somebody help me today. So might. He's saying it's not going to be by so-and-so's army or by this exclusive group of people. I got news for these celebrity prophets and preachers that are in this age that we're in right now. It ain't going to come. Nothing's going to come because of them. Except maybe just.
Right.
Help me, Jesus. Yeah. I mean that with a pure heart. So he said, it's not going to come by might. So it's not going to come by a collective force. So you can gather as many people as you want. It ain't going to come that way. He said, it's not going to come by power. Might focuses on collective strength. Power focuses on an individual strength. So it's not going to come by one person. It ain't going to come by you, Zerubbabel. It's not going to come by Zechariah. It's not going to come by a group of people. It's not even going to come, amen, by one individual. God is not saying, amen. God is saying it's not going to be by resources of many or one, but it's going to come by my Spirit. By my Spirit is how this is going to be fulfilled. This is how it's all going to be done. I've already got it all strategically planned out. All I need is for all of you to get in place. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? In this house. He said it's not going to come by intelligence, by someone's ability, by your personal connections, God help us, or by physical strength. But it's going to come by the Ruach of God. It's going to come by the very breath of God that worked in creation. The very breath of God that at the Red Sea, amen, he opened it up and closed it with his breath. Amen. It's going to come by the same Ruach, the same breath that gave life to dry bones. That's how it's going to come. He said it's going to come by that same breath that blew in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 and rested as fire and filled everyone who believed that was in the room. Are you with me? He said, this is how it's going to come. Hallelujah. The same breath that breathed life into the first Adam, hallelujah, is the same breath that's going to take us out of here, that has set us up, hallelujah, to be a man with him eternally. Are you with me? Zerubbabel's descendant, Messiah Jesus, when he came, he would have no difficulty in his task. Are you hearing me? He would have no difficulty in his task. Because for him, when he comes, are you hearing me? It will be as simple as lighting the menorah. You say, put that in hillbilly terms. I'm glad you asked, at least one of you, that a man that wants it, a man that cares to know what a man I'm talking about, that cares to understand. Hallelujah. For him, when he comes, Zerubbabel's descendant, the Messiah Jesus, you know, this one that we said when he comes back, amen, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. And I forgot to mention, amen, and reiterate that when he comes, there'll be no mistaking who he is. First of all, he's going to be seated on a white horse. And there's going to be something written on his robe. Amen. It will be written in red, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the scepter. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. He will. There'll be no mistaking. So when he comes to accomplish his task, what was his task? Of bringing, restoring God's people back into right relationship with him from their sin. Are you hearing me? See, it wasn't hard to light the menorah. It was the work that had to be done to be able to light the menorah. So it didn't take very long. It was easy to light the wick. Amen. But you had to work to make sure everything was clean and that the oil was in there. And it was the right oil. Amen. And everything was in place. It wasn't hard to light it, somebody. You can't hear me this morning. Amen. And when Jesus comes, amen, hallelujah, he was telling him, it'll be as simple as the lighting menorah. He would bring what? Salvation to the world. And he would make this salvation as simple as lighting a menorah. It wasn't going to take you going through a 13-step program. It wasn't going to take you wearing a certain kind of clothing. It wasn't going to take you having yourself, amen, in a certain level of holiness. Amen. It was going to be right in your sin. And just as easy as it was to step up and light a menorah, it's that easy to be born again. Will somebody help me? Because all the work has already been done. Somebody better give the Lord a shout if you understand what I'm saying. Because he, when he comes, he's going to do all the heavy, tedious work required to redeem us from our sins. He's going to do all the necessary prerequisite, amen, things in order for the menorah to be lit, or in order for there to be light. Oh, somebody help me. And our slate will be wiped clean. I wish if I'd have thought, if my brain would have been there, if I'd have thought, I'd have brought out a candle. Amen. Praise God. Just, amen. To kind of give you an example. Hallelujah. You light the flame. You have the flame. The flame, amen. The fire, the source wasn't the issue. Come on, somebody. It was whether or not there was oil in the lamp. amen, it was whether or not the wick was, amen, in the right position to be lit. Amen, fire, amen, wasn't the problem. Somebody better help me in this place. But it was having enough oil, hallelujah, and as quick as you can strike a match or you can hit a lighter. I mean, we've even got, amen, a cordless, amen, electric lighters by a spark, but as quick as you can strike a flame and light a candle, that's how quick. When you say yes to Jesus, when you say, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life, I believe that you died for my sins, rose from the dead, and seated at the right hand of God, you don't have to fill out a form. You don't have to fill out where you come from, who your daddy was, who your grandpa was, and what good you've done, all the bad that you've done. He knows it all. And as quick as you can light a candle, he washes away every sin. Somebody better help me. And as far as the east is from the west, he wipes your slate clean. That's how quick. Somebody help me. I hope this is making sense to you today.
God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
And it will be as simple as lighting the menorah. Now, we already told you the fire is not the problem. The source having fire is not the issue. Of course, you gotta have a lamp. But the lamp's a no-brainer. We told you the oil. Had to follow a special recipe, Jesus. Right? It couldn't be just any oil. And it wasn't Baptist oil, Pentecostal oil, Methodist oil, Catholic oil, Presbyterian oil, amen, American, Methodist, Episcopalian. It wasn't none of that. It wasn't apostolic oil. Jesus, help us. There's only one source of oil. And he's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Help me, Jesus. Somebody help me. So the oil was the issue, right? The oil was the issue. That's what took a lot of the work. Amen. That had to be done. That was the tedious, heavy work that weighed on your mind. The constant waking up. Is there enough oil there? Who's going to watch to see if the lamp stays lit? It's my turn to work and get the oil. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The oil was the problem. But God done had the oil supply taken care of. Hallelujah. To make a love story short, the Holy Ghost was the oil. That lampstand, that menorah with the two olive trees and the pipes running and that self-filling lamp, that oil was going to be brought by the anointed one. Yeshua HaMashiach. What was going to be the oil? It's expedient that I go away. I stood on the Mount of Olives. But I prayed the Father. Happy Father's Day. I prayed the Father would not leave you comfortless, but he would send you a comforter that will lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. And that comforter was the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I got to go, but I'm coming back. But until I come back, you've got an endless supply of what you need. Somebody. So that oil, that Holy Ghost, would be an endless supply and the only resource needed to keep the light burning. Now look at your neighbor and say, get lit. Ooh, hallelujah. You'd be carnal with that if you want to. But Jesus coined it. God coined it before the enemy did. He used it, amen, for a synthetic high. He used it, amen, for drugs, artificial, amen, means of happiness, drugs, alcohol, stimulants to get lit. But Jesus, hallelujah, amen, coined it before they did when he said, tarry here, stay here until you're in need. God, don't you get ugly on me. But Jesus said, go and get lit. Hallelujah, because there's work to be done. There's people. Somebody help me in this place. So now, no need to keep every law. You hear me out? No need to pay tithes, give offerings, keep the Sabbath, and so forth to find atonement.
Come on, God. Come on, oh God.
All of that is not going to redeem you from your sins. It might make you churchy. It might make you a member of a denomination, but it ain't going to make you a blood-bought citizen of the heavenly country. Ooh, somebody help me. Ooh, hallelujah. At this point, I don't know if I'll ever get to step foot. Amen. Over in Israel. One of the things I desire more than anything. But I do know this. Hallelujah. There's going to be a new city, Jerusalem. That's going to come down and take residence. Fasted 40 days, 10 times in your life, that doesn't qualify you for redemption. Come on, somebody. Because God done took care of all that. He did all the heavy lifting. And Jesus came and he fulfilled it. Any good works. Following the laws of God, giving tithes and offerings, attending church, feeding and giving to the poor will not get us to heaven. You say, well, I know that. You'd be surprised in the number of people sitting in sanctuaries today that believe that's their salvation. Probably more than you think. That's why we have this false doctrine of pseudo-love for God in this world today, that as long as you do good things, you are morally good, you will be born again. When you die, you will be saved. That's heresy. So much so that now there's men and women who stood behind pulpits such as this, preaching the gospel and the truth, that are now teaching that hell is not real. That it's allegorical. That it's not a real place of eternal destiny. Let me remind you, in case you've ever entertained that idea, that's false.
Right.
Because as sure as you can pinch your flesh and feel it today, there's a hell and there's a heaven.
That's right.
Those are your two options when you take your last breath.
Amen.
When your spirit goes back, when the ruach goes back to God.
Yes.
Come on. But now, we do these things only to show our love for God. So I pay my tithes, I give offerings, I show up at church, I feed the poor, and I help, and I do all these things because I love God. Not because it makes me righteous and holy. Are you hearing me? And he said, it's not an earthly temple that's meant to house the presence of God. It's not a building that's meant to house the presence of God. It's us. We are the temples of God. He created us with that in mind. So all of my filth, my my sin, my debauchery, everything that I've ever done that's went against His precious word and His holy blueprint for my life did not change His mind. But He could, when I was conceived in my mother's womb, He created me to house His presence. All these folks that claim to be atheists, there's no such thing as an atheist.
That's
only
right.
People that reject God.
That's right.
Little do they know that the breath they're walking around with is the very breath of the God they say they don't believe in. Their temple, their God temple. Come on, somebody, help me. Hallelujah. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm just here to tell you how much the enemy's got people to see. So he said, it's not one building. Amen. That's why the tabernacle when they were in the wilderness was only a temporary dwelling. Amen. That's why the temple, amen, praise God. They had to have something to see, to go to. God knew that. But when Jesus came, what happened? Hallelujah. The veil of the temple split in half. Amen. And for the first time, people peeked in behind the most holy place. And they saw the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Amen. Dwelling over. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims. For the first time, man, human, flesh laid eyes on the presence of God and didn't die. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody help me in this place. Paul said, now ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why? It's not one building. Amen. It's us, because one building can't contain all of the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right. Come on.
Imagine. Does anybody know what the estimate population of the world is? How much?
8 million.
8 billion. How'd you know that, my boy?
It's
just, you're saying it's not that. I'm sure it's a discussion at lunch. Hey, mom, did you know that there's 8 billion people in the world? It's no sound of that, but you know.
That's probable.
I have to just take a pause there. When Sam was younger, we met at the urinals in the bathroom. And he's beside me, and he looks at me and says, starts driving off asking me questions about all of these dinosaurs. Name them all off. Did you know yada 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 does this yada yada? No, Sam didn't. Yeah, they do. That's cool, Sam. Yeah, that'll forever be etched in my memory. He's definitely his father's son. But imagine there's 8 billion people in the world, and there's babies born probably every second. And every one of them are meant to house the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. God.
Thank you. No wonder Zechariah saw an endless supply of that oil running to keep the lamps lit. We're the lamps now. Come on, are you with me? I want to make sure everybody's there. Amen. Because there's so much of the Holy Spirit. That one building, two buildings, 10 buildings, 30 buildings, one denomination, help me Jesus not to get preaching right there. One denomination can't have it all. Well, somebody help me. Think on that. The work's been done. Now we just surrender to the fruit. We just say, yes, Lord. Here I am. I say yes to the work of salvation that Jesus paid for me. I'm about to get to my point. I'm almost there. But it behooves me, as I was preparing for this, I preached from Zechariah. You see my Bible. I preached from Peter chapter 3 and 4, especially several times, but never from this point of view. But if we look at this oil, and we look at the properties of oil, because God is all about patterns and symbols, and order, right, and structure. But when we look at the properties of oil, oil lubricates or anoints. So that means that where oil is present, little friction and wear is present. So it's harder for something, for there to be friction and for something to wear out if the oil, if it is anointed or lubricated, for lack of better words, hillbilly terms. Oil, another property of oil, is it heals. It was often used in the scriptures, especially as a medical treatment. So it brings healing and restoration. We're talking about this oil that Jesus came to provide as an endless supply for God's people. Oil also brings light. When it's burned, it's got to be set on fire first. Help us, Jesus. Are you hearing me? When it's burned, it becomes our source of light or our witness.
Come on, talk back. Come on.
Now the menorah, help me, Jesus. The menorah is the symbol of faith for the Jews. But now our witness of the Messiah is this oil that came in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, making us witnesses. This oil, hallelujah, when we're anointed by this oil, hallelujah, it takes a lot to wear us out. And there's very little friction. Are you with me? Hallelujah. When we have this oil, it'll bring healing and restoration. When this oil is lit, when it's burned, amen, it becomes our witness that what? We are His. Amen. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Oil also heats. Amen. When it's used as fuel for a flame, hallelujah, it will bring refinement. Hallelujah. So when this oil, amen, is used to fuel the fire, amen, it brings heat. And what does the heat do? It burns off, amen, everything that does not have any substance, anything that can be burned, the wood, the hay, the stubble. But there's a foundation that, amen, Zerubbabel said. Zechariah goes on to say after chapter 6 that there will be a cornerstone laid, hallelujah, that cannot be removed. It cannot be burned by fire. Wind cannot harm it. Flood cannot destroy it. Fire cannot burn it. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. That foundation, that chief cornerstone, is Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. And if we are in Him, and that oil is in us, and we let ourselves be lit by the fire of God, it will keep us in refinement. It will burn away the things that interfere with the fullness of the covenant blessing. It may not feel good, but when it's done, that same oil that produced the heat to burn it off will heal whatever's been hurt and wounded. Somebody give Him a shout. Oil restores. How many's ever had a massage? You ain't never had a massage?
That's what
I'm talking about.
No, I have not.
You have not?
Somebody has
told you. Lord.
Just saying. You've been out there, but you have to go.
You listen.
I know.
Especially if it's the deep tissue. The deeper, the harder the pressure, the better for me.
Yeah.
The lady's like, nah, you're not smooth. No, sir. For those of you that have had a massage professionally,
maybe
they don't just come lay you down and just start rubbing.
Right.
It's the one thing I don't like about getting massage, because I don't like substance on my skin. I'm not a, I can't do sunscreen. I don't like lotion on my face. I hate that. You know it's got to feel good for me to let them put oil on my skin. And I was like, oh, Lord, help me. They do it. But they, that oil, what's it do? It's used, and that massage begins to restore those muscles and those places where your body is tense. Mine's always up here.
Yeah.
I carry it all right here. I try my best not to, but it just happens. I carry it all along my shoulders. Amen. But so that oil, and so it may rejuvenate your muscles and strengthens them so that you can use them without pain. Are you hearing me? So many of you have to give up, but because you have not allowed the oil to restore you, everything you do hurts. Come on, somebody. When God did not intend, so that oil will strengthen you for service. Oil also adorns. When it's applied as perfume, it'll keep you prepared for the bridegroom. The 10 virgins, they were adorned for the bridegroom. Are you hearing me? The 5 wise. We preached on that not too long ago, just a few weeks ago. So that, and I look at it this way, to put that in heavenly terms, it graces us to be able to run the race and to be pleasing to our bridegroom. That will adorn us. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And finally, the last property I want to speak about as oil is it polishes. When it's used to shine metal, oil will polish. And for us, it keeps us humble as it convicts us to walk upright before the Lord. It will polish us, renew us. And as the Holy Spirit convicts us, I didn't say condemns us, convicts us, it keeps us real. It keeps us right before Him, keeps us humble.
Yes.
So that the conviction of the Holy Ghost can operate in our lives. All because Jesus paid the price. So as the angel asked Zechariah, do you know what this means? He said, I don't know. And as he explained, it's not going to be through an army or a special group of people. It's not going to be through one individual, but it's going to be by my spirit, by my ruach, by the oil, that endless supply. So now I come to you today after taking the time to lay all of that out before you, to ask you, do you know what that means? Do you know now what that means? Do you know that there's power in you to walk in covenant with the Father? Happy Father's Day. That unconditional love. But do you know that this power in you is enough to walk out that covenant? Do you know that Jesus did all the work required for you to be able to walk in the covenant blessings of God? Do you know that the mountain in front of you is not impossible? Who am I talking to today? He goes on to say, and we preach there. He said, tell Zerubbabel in verse 7, who art that old great mountain that's before Zerubbabel? It shall become a plain. It is not impossible because I've already got the victory planned out. There's an endless supply. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not going to come through you. It ain't going to happen through a group of people, but it's going to be by my Spirit. It's going to be by this Holy Spirit. So do you know who am I talking to, that this mountain in front of you is not impossible? Do you know that this mountain in front of you is about to be flattened out? Do you know that this power in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? It's the same power. Hallelujah, that will quicken this mortal body. Do you know that your victory is pre-planned? Do you know this today? Do you know that your purpose and your destiny in Him is in Him and not in yourself? Step aside. Get out of the way. Take your hands off of it. Keep your mouth shut. Let it go. He's got you. Oh, hallelujah. Your purpose and your destiny is in Him. It's not in a man or a woman. It's not in a romantic relationship. It's not in your job, your career. It's not in a degree. It's not in a doctrine. It's not in any of those things. But it is in Him. Do you know that He's working behind the scenes to bring it to fruition? Do you know that your destiny, your purpose is in Him and not yourself, and that He's working right now behind the scenes to bring it to fruition? That He'll even take all the mess and He'll use it for the good. Do you know that you don't have to stay in that place that you're in today? Do you know that God loved you so much that He didn't want to leave you in your sinful condition? Because that state will take you to this place called hell. God is working. I love it. Because come to find out, Israel had IDF and intelligence that infiltrated into Iran and has been in there for a long time, setting up and creating the missile that they release on the nuclear facility. They had been in there working, and the enemy didn't know it. God had been behind the scenes. And I love what they call the operation. It's called Operation Rising Lion. And it's taken out of Numbers chapter 23 and verse 24. That the lion shall rise and shall take out his enemy and shall taste of their blood. Come on, somebody. Do you understand it? That rising lion. I said that to say this. That Jesus was the lion, or is the lion, of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He's working behind the scenes. It may look like that the enemy is prospering. It may look like that the enemy is close to having something that's going to nuke your purpose and your amen, destiny in God. It may look like that it's near amen, destruction, but you can know, do you know, hallelujah, that the power that represent you, that God is working behind the scenes. And in suddenly, just as suddenly as that angel showed up in Zechariah's vision, suddenly he will show up in his temple. Malachi prophesied it. Suddenly God is going to show up. And while they were sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, bam, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, hallelujah, amen, the missile went off and the facility exploded. So I come today to tell somebody, hallelujah, that God has chosen you, hallelujah, and it's not, hallelujah, the menorah, amen, or the cross that is the symbol of your faith, but it is the witness of the oil of the Holy Ghost that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. The question is, do you know? I say, come to the music. Just as the angel asked Zechariah, do you know what this means? And he said, I don't know. He's asking you, do you know your victory and your breakthrough is already pre-planned. All that is before you is not in us. The power is in you. So as they get ready to worship, I want to ask all that are under the sound of my voice, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have not said yes to the work that Jesus did on Calvary, and you recognize you're a sinner today, and you need salvation, you believe, I'm going to ask you to come, confess your sins, the heart of repentance. Believe, and the Bible says you shall be saved. I can't pray it for you. I can't stand in your place. Only you can say yes. And when you do, that precious Spirit of the Lord comes up against big residence. So if you're here today and that's you, and you're willing to say yes, I want you to have your seat and come. Come.